Chapter 46, Washington, D.C. There's no sign of a genetics lab in Dakar. These were the first words Kurt heard upon waking up from several hours of desperately needed sleep. After leaving Bethesda, he'd returned to his boathouse on the Potomac and fallen onto his couch. He'd closed his eyes, intending only to rest for a moment. But surrounded by the familiar scents and sounds of his own home, the aroma of varnish that wafted up from the workshop below, the hum of the oversized filter in the tropical fish tank, he was asleep before he knew it. The phone call from Rudy had shocked him back to consciousness several hours later.
"Are you sure?" he asked.
Miar was pretty clear about the location. Rudy didn't waver. Both the CIA and NSA insist there is zero possibility of a genetics lab in Dakar. I had a search run for anything that would indicate Tessa's company or any subsidiaries acting in the region. But there's nothing to suggest she's ever been connected to that part of the world, let alone Dakar itself. What about Miar or any of his known associates?
Nothing there either, Rudy said.
Kurt could hardly believe what he was hearing. What's the confidence level on this?
High, Rudy said. There's a CIA unit specifically tasked with tracking genetic threats.
Miar has been on their watch list for years. He's split his time between France, Bermuda, and the UK. He's never set foot on African soil.
What about other places named Dakar? Kurt asked.
Plenty of them, Rudy said. One in Syria, three others in Africa, one in India. There's even a small city in the heart of Russia named Dakar. But there's nothing to indicate Tessa or Miar has ever been to any of them.
Kurt stared at the ceiling. There was no point arguing.
What about the French language portion of the recording? Have the interpreters come up with anything from it?
Most of it was unintelligible, Rudy said, though Miar's voice was clear when insisting that he didn't create the bacteria, and when he offered a statement near the end, stating the French were there also.
Is it possible to wake him up again? Kurt asked.
I checked on that, Rudy replied. He's gone into a deeper coma. The doctor said trying to wake him now would probably kill him. And considering the head trauma, they're not sure what his cognitive state will be when he finally does wake up. It's a miracle you got from him what you did.
Then we'll just have to listen some more and figure out what he meant, Kurt said. Not to change the subject, but what about the monarch?
If we'd found it, Rudy said, I'd have told you already.
Sorry, Kurt said. Keep me posted.
Rudy promised to do just that and hung up.
Kurt stood and walked to the kitchen. He switched the coffee pot on and left the lights off. Waiting for the coffee to brew, he went over Miar's words in his head. Miar had been utterly clear about Dakar. He'd even mentioned that the French were there, and the French had controlled Dakar and the region of Senegal where it is located for centuries. Picking up the recorder, he listened to Miar's words again, playing it section by section, stopping and rewinding repeatedly until he'd gone through it several times. Between the weakness of Miar's voice, his labored breathing, and the background noise of the hospital room, it was hard to make out everything, but after listening to the same words over and over, Kurt realized something small that he'd overlooked.
Le Dakar, he said, speaking Miar's words. The Dakar.
Miar was referring not to a place, but to a thing. And when he heard Miar mention that the poor souls had drowned, Kurt became certain just what that thing was. He sat at his computer and checked the NUMA database, quickly finding what he was looking for. But the information was cursory, not much better than what was available publicly. Rarely was that the case. If he wanted anyone to take his theory seriously, he was going to need more. And if the information wasn't going to be found in the computers of the world, he'd have to seek out a different storehouse of knowledge, one made of flesh and blood. Grabbing his keys, Kurt ran out the front door. He climbed into his Jeep and sped off toward Georgetown, heading for St. Julian.